Not everyone who talks about God is a true follower of the Lord. There are many false prophets in the world today, as there were in Jesus' day. There are many pretenders in our churches. How can we detect the true from the false? Well, please stay with us. Jesus had said in John the 6th chapter, verse 58, "This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna, and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever." Then we read in verse 60, "Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, This is an hard saying. Who can hear it? Do not be misguided by this word disciples, for the ones spoken of were those who followed Jesus because of mere selfish and carnal interests. They had not acknowledged him as the Lord of their lives. By following him across the Sea of Galilee, they simply appeared to be his disciples." Now, what Christ taught was not hard in the sense that it could not be understood, but because his hearers refused to receive it. Those who resist Christ will not find his teachings understandable. We read in verse 61, "When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, Doth this offend you?" Doubtless Christ did not hear their murmurings. However, being God, he knew that they were disturbed by his saying, "I am the bread which came down from heaven." This they considered to be blasphemy. Christ then thrust another profound truth before them in verse 62. "What, and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before?" You see, not only did Christ come from heaven, but he assured them that he would ascend back into heaven, the place where he was before. And Jesus said in verse 63, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." There seem to be several meanings embodied in these words. Many of our Lord's hearers interpreted what he had been teaching from the physical or material point of view. Christ emphasized again that what he was saying was to be understood in the vein of the spiritual. "The flesh profiteth nothing." He made this clear. There seems to be, however, an even greater truth presented in these words. Let no one think for a minute that he can earn his salvation by what he does. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. Thousands of people have been deluded into thinking that by their good works they are earning life eternal. Nothing could be farther from the truth. "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life," Jesus said. What the Lord Jesus said about his coming down from heaven and of the essential need of believing on him is the truth which the Holy Spirit uses to open hearts to God. As this truth is believed, these teachings of Christ will become life, spiritual life, eternal life, so that those who believe on him will be made new creatures in him. Christ expounded the truth. He proved it by his death and resurrection. And then Jesus says in verse 64, "But there are some of you that believe not." Our Lord wanted them to understand that he could see through their hypocrisy. Knowing that some would persist in unbelief, Christ said, "No man cometh unto me except it were given unto him of my Father." Verse 65. Man being dead in trespasses and sin is unable to believe without the quickening grace of God the Father. But when the Father provides spiritual enlightenment, unless that one exercises faith in the eternal Christ, he can never be saved. As long as one continues in unbelief, he will remain under the condemnation of God. Now Jesus reminds us again, in verse 66, "From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him." Christ had spoken about the spiritual. His hearers were concerned about the material. Thus they forsook him to live as they had always lived. What an opportunity these people missed, unwilling to submit to Christ in a life of faith and trust. There are others like them mentioned in the Bible. Jesus warned in Luke 17, verse 32, "Remember Lot's wife." She was guilty of the same error as these professed disciples, having possessed spiritual privileges, yet she turned her face from God. The Apostle Paul wrote of Demas, "Who hath forsaken me, having loved this present world?" Demas gave evidence of being a follower of Christ for a while, but the appeal of the world was too strong, so he went back. Some have asked, is it possible for one who is soundly converted to backslide? Yes, very definitely so. I think all who know the Lord experience occasional backsliding, but the backslider does not stay in a state of retreat. It is not long before, in the providence of God, he is back in fellowship with the Lord. Hypocrites, or mere pretenders, as these people were of whom John spoke, were never really converted. They were not backsliders, for they had never submitted themselves to Christ. Well, after the many pseudo-disciples forsook Jesus, our Lord turned to the original 12. And he said in verse 67, "Will ye also go away?" Jesus knew what his disciples would do. The purpose of his question was to bring them to a greater determination in their faith to make a renewed commitment. Now Simon Peter answered him in verse 68, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." Peter was convinced in his heart that Jesus was the Son of God. And he said in verse 69, "And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God." It mattered not what the actions of others were. Peter had no doubts. Now following Peter's clear-cut testimony, our Lord made a heart-rending disclosure. Verses 70 and 71. Jesus answered them, "Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil?" He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. How surprised the disciples must have been to hear these words. They must have looked at each other in utter amazement, thinking, who could it be? The Apostle John, in writing this gospel, tells us that it was Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. But at that time, the disciples did not know that. The word chosen, as used here, refers to the position of being one of the 12. It certainly does not mean that Judas was chosen in the sense of being a possessor of eternal life. Jesus called him a devil. A devil is not a Christian. James tells us the devils also believe and tremble. The word believe, as used in this verse, means to know. They know that Jesus is the Son of God. Likewise, they know the consequences of not believing on Christ. Judas was a devil in the sense that he was a ready tool and instrument of the wicked one. When the time came for the betrayal of Christ, Judas, because of his unbelief, became the means through which the devil worked. Now the devil, having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. These are the words of John 13, verse 2. You see, there's nothing quite as dangerous as a false profession. How we need to heed the words of Peter, found in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. "Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure." How can one test his profession? Some might feel that it is living the Christian life. If you live for the Lord, you must be a believer. I do not think Judas lived differently from the other disciples. Probably for this reason, the other disciples could not detect that he was the devil of whom Jesus spoke. How did Judas differ from the other disciples? Nothing appears in Scripture that would even suggest that he was a witness for Christ. You see, the other disciples witnessed, but Judas had nothing to say in defense of Christ on any occasion. Now, this provides a good test to determine the false from the true. Those guilty of a false profession will not be known to bear testimony to the living Jesus Christ. They may live like Christians, but they will not speak as do real born-again men and women in God. By their silence, they deny Jesus Christ. If one has experienced a sincere encounter with Christ, whereby he truly acknowledges Jesus as Savior and Lord, he will not be able to keep quiet. Judas was a pretender. Peter was a disciple, willing and ready to speak for Christ at any time. I hope you're speaking for Christ. I hope you know Christ. If you don't know him, come to him now. Don't be a pretender. Don't be a hypocrite. Let Jesus reign in your life. Father God, use your word in our hearts. Glorify your holy name. May the Spirit of the Lord be upon each of us, that we may speak out for Jesus and not in any way be ashamed of him. Help us to be bold through the boldness we receive through the Holy Spirit. I pray this in our Savior's name. Amen.